Good morning, and good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 29th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion. We are reading that first full paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, ending with the physical factor is incomplete. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C., who will be reading the text, Elaine B., who will be reading page 164, and Julie E.B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday, Thursday, December 28th, 2023, is 20,982, or 20982, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,986, or 20986. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Nancy C. from Amarillo, Texas, the gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. A path.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy C. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for this month, and welcome to all the newcomers. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders... Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the service this month, and Happy New Year, everybody. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Joanna, and thanks for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you please keep your sharing directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the doctor's opinion on page XXVI. We're reading that first full paragraph that begins with the physician who, at our request, ending with this physical factor is incomplete. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Penny LC to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The physician who, at our request, gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality, or were outright mental defectives. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us, but we are sure that our bodies were as sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. What a revelation this became for society at large. over these years since this awareness. So what is Dr. Silkworth's theory? It confirms for me that my compulsive overeating body is as abnormal as my mind. It is not just that I am weak-willed, not just that I need to set my mind to losing weight, not just that I have to try harder. The doctor's explanation confirms my disease lies in my body as well as my mind. The more I ate, the more I wanted. But here's the why of it. Why? Because I have an allergic component, a physical allergy. This information assures me that my cravings are validated. Whenever I ingest my alcoholic foods, I must have more. One serving will never satisfy me. Instead, the entire package will be stuffed down, and then I will seek out more and more of that addictive component. This paragraph reiterates that I was tortured, that I have suffered. I was maladjusted. I was in full flight from reality, and I was a mental defective. Perhaps those things are all true, and yet, here's also an explanation that I can work with. There are reasons now that I can clearly see through the grace of this book coming to me with this information that I have a physical allergy, I have a mental obsession, and I have a spiritual void. The good news is that all of these can be dealt with treatment. And the spiritual void will be the solution to the entire issue of my problem. Grateful to have this knowledge today, and with that, I'll pass.
No, thank you very much, Penny LC, for getting us started. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. We've got lots of people on this meeting. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please wrap up your sentence so that we can give others a chance to share too. And so what we're going to do is get first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Susan S.H.,
Sorry,
Ohio.
I heard Susan Sarita. H. Was that
Sarita.
Who was Louis L.
Sarita L. from Montreal.
I'm sorry. One sec. I've got
Devorah S.
So I'm hearing
Devorah S.
people talking over each other. So 1 second. Let me tell you what I got. I have Susan H., Serena, I think it's Serene or Serena L., and then who else?
Dana P.
Sorry, did you get?
Gotcha, Dana P.
Did you get Devorah F.?
I've got Devorah F., yes. I think I wrote A.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And who else was in that lineup?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Thank you. Jordan got ya. And do we have anyone else who wants to get in on that? Okay. I've got Susan H., Serena L., Devorah F., Dana P., and Jordan L. We'll start with Susan H., followed by Serena L., and if you could please let us know where you're calling from. And Susan, you're up. And you'll need to hit star one. We can't hear you.
I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Okay, good.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I'm Susan S.H. and I'm in Ohio. And this reading is always so good to read through the doctor's opinion again, no matter who I read it with. But studying it is even better. And this paragraph, yes, was such good news to me because that my body was affected, that it was a real disease. My body really has this problem. And I'm not just an awful person because I couldn't eat less. I couldn't exercise more. I didn't seem to be equipped to do that. And yeah, what a relief to find out that it's a real disease. This drives home how serious our problem is and how out of our control it is as well. It flows with the rest of the page to say that I must believe that it is a real disease. It helps explain the crazy behavior. So if I can get a list of those allergic foods, I can put them down. It may start as white knuckling. I am powerless, but not helpless. And so we work, and yeah, at the bottom of the page, my sponsor has said, we work quickly through the steps. We work quickly through the steps. That beautiful daily reprieve is our gift and the result of our spiritual awakening. And our spiritual awakening comes through working the steps, following the directions, and trusting a higher power. I am so grateful to be in that place today. And that's my story. And I will pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Susan S.H. from Ohio. Next up, Serena L., followed by Devorah F.
Hi, it's Sarit L. from Montreal, and I'm nervous, but I'm so happy to be on a meeting live. I have all my kids in school today for the first time in a while, and I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity to just fill up on fellowship and meetings and all those good stuff that keep us, you know, strong and connected to God. So we are like dunking and immersing ourselves into hearing about how our disease manifests itself in our body. And this is just true for me. And what I love about this meeting is that we all can share openly about our history, and we all relate. We all identify in. And thank God for, you know, this doctor's opinion that tells us that we have suffered alcohol. He confirms what we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe, and he didn't even suffer alcoholic torture. But we who have suffered alcoholic torture can all shake, you know, nod our heads and say, yes, yes, and yes, and yes. Now I understand why when I was 16, 17 years old, and I'm starving my body, and I didn't ingest any flour and sugar, you know, for a week, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm binging away, and then Monday, I restrict it, but I'm feeling that like depressive, demoralizing piece that's really unique to our disease. And that's one piece that I never realized. It comes when I put, you know, when I ingest flour and sugar, right away, I get lethargic, moody, depressed, sad, and morose, and demoralized. All of those emotions just come, so it's a heavy fog that settles in, that just, it's not just a drunkenness, it's a drunken stupor along with the depressive, saddened nature. And then, of course, you know, days of restriction all lead to up to this moment where all of a sudden I'm like dying to eat it again and craving it all over again. I never understood all of this, but I was cycling this through my teenage years. And when I look back, it's even from way before that. I would starve, I would restrict, I would compulsively overeat, and it all happened this moment that I just wanted to eat it. And I'd be off and running in an elevator like Friday afternoon, 2 minutes before sundown. And I'm off and running because I got to go get to the stores before they shut down, and I have to get my food and my fix. And this is alcoholic torture. And thank God today I'm in a program that teaches me that I can't, you know, self-reliance fails me, and I can only rely on my higher power. And he showed up for me. The self-reliance failed me, but I have a solution where God-reliance saves me, protects me, helps me, because the one, all-powerful one, helps me. And many times it's in ways that I never would have even realized. I did a 10-step yesterday because my kids have all been home around me and I need my own space and time. And I'll finish up with this. And like, thank God today I woke up and my kids were all ready to go back to school. Like, this is a gift that God gave me today. I have a gift and I never thought this would happen. So just, I keep showing up and doing the work because it works. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sarita, from Montreal, Canada. Next up, we have Devorah F., followed by Dana P.
Thank you, moderator, and thank you everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. And hearing all my friends on the line, really, it's wonderful to be connected with everybody. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And wow, this paragraph really says a lot. We who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. So, honestly, when I came into program, I didn't know that my mind was abnormal. All I knew is that I wanted to eat more and more and more, and that I couldn't stop. And once, you know, I had to finish every bag and every box, I didn't know that was, you know, I just thought that was normal behavior for me. You know, I just needed to finish everything. Couldn't have just one. I couldn't understand what the people around me, like the normal people I would see, if I go to an affair or something and I'd see, oh, the music would start playing and they were getting up to go dance. And I was sitting still at my table and wondering, like, are they going to come back and finish their food? Or, like, I just wanted to eat. I finished everything on my plate. People left things over. Wow, that was a revelation to me. But I only found out what I had when I came into this program, that my mind tells me it's never enough and that the food that I'm putting into my body creates a craving that I just can't stop. One is just never enough and I want more and more. And it produces an effect on me. I also become tired, lethargic. I want to lay in bed. I want to pull the shades down. I don't want to deal with anybody. I don't want to deal with life. I just want to put the blanket over my head and just be in me and just be in me. Me and the disease. And that's what I did for a very, very long time. And I got sicker and sicker physically. I developed high blood pressure, diabetes. I developed a neuropathy in my feet because, you know, diabetes. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with it physically that I was killing myself, not knowing, you know, and how to stop. And thank God when I got into this program and I learned about this, putting down the substances, staying abstinent, going through the steps, talking to God, asking God for an abstinent day. That was a revelation. Because for me, it was always, oh, the diet, I got to do this. I got to lean on my self-will. I got to lean on my willpower. I could do this, you know. And there were moments of time that I could. But as the years went by, it wasn't there anymore. It was just getting weaker and weaker because the disease was just growing bigger and bigger. And thank God today, you know, I trust and rely on God to help me through this with my food, yes, but also with other apps. Isn't that great that, like, I come into this program to stop eating, but now I come into this program, I'm staying in this program because I know that my higher power is directing me and leading me, you know, in his will, you know. Now I'm learning how to become, turning to God throughout the day, relying and trusting on my higher power. And knowing that I don't have control, I can't fix everything because I thought I could. In my demented, sick mind, I thought I could be the healer of everybody. And today, I know that I could. That it's not mine. It's not mine. I just need to follow my higher power and seek his will throughout the day. And to practice these steps and do onto God as God would do onto me, you know.
That's
patience,
time.
Power is kindness for others. And that is it. And I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah. And where are you calling from?
I'm Devorah S. in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you so much. And next up we have Dana P. followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. It's Dana P. I am in California. This paragraph is so powerful. listening to everyone else's share, one of those things that makes me realize I'm where I need to be. And I'm with my sisters and brothers here. We all have this thing. And if you're new and you can relate to any of it, you know, stick with the program, because it saved my life and continues to. So Dr. Silkworth, in his letter, he's talking about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, two key pieces of the disease that we experience as a result of having whatever it is that we have. I don't understand it. I've tried and tried to understand it. And I'm going to share a little bit about my own experience in the disease. But I just want to say, you know, we're talking about three things, really, not two. I have a spiritual malady, and that's the most important thing to remember, because that is the solution. The solution is not in another diet, in therapy, although those things can be helpful. And I don't mean diet, I mean meal plan and what we eat and what we don't eat. Those things are very, very important. But ultimately, it's about the spiritual solution. And our book talks about that. When we straighten out spiritually, everything else straightens out. It's a lot of work, though. You know, in my experience, I heard the number 16 years old and 17 years old, and that's when it all kind of started for me. 17 years old, was not overweight particularly, but I decided in my crazy mind that I needed to lose weight. So I went on a very restrictive food plan, diet, and I almost died. You know, don't die yet, and I almost died. Very, very anorexic within a short period of time. And what's going on physiologically, you know, to understanding that there's something amiss with the body, is that I was starving. And what happens when you're starving? Something kicks in the brain, pupils dilate. We have to have more food, right? And so I began compulsively overeating. And that obsession in my mind, the fear, if you will, of quote-unquote getting fat, I discovered vomit bulimia. And I spent 41 years vacillating between compulsive overeating and vomit bulimia, exercise addiction, and restricting. Very, very, very sick in my body. And the loop, it's like the dog that's chasing its tail, you know, continuously going round and round and round in a circle with the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. And I think that's my time. So thank you so much. Just want everyone to be aware of how important the solution is. Not another diet, not another plan. It's a spiritual solution, our connection to God and his kids. So thanks so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Dana P. from California. Next up, we have Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us, Stephanie. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. very, very grateful to be abstinent. that was a gift that eluded me for those first 5 years not in Overeaters Anonymous, because I wasn't in OA, but I had heard a message of recovery and was kind of like, nope, I'm going to figure it out on my own. I'm going to use this little brain of mine to solve my problems. And I didn't understand this. I did not understand what it's telling us here. This is one of those places in the big book where it says we must believe this. It's not a suggestion. It's not optional. This is one of those musts. the disease of compulsive overeating affected me in a huge way. It affected me from a really young age. I hit 200 pounds by the time I was 14 years old, and it altered the course of my life. It affected my emotional development, my self-esteem, all of that stuff. So when I got here, I was really, really, really clear about how compulsive overeating and especially the extra weight that I carried had made my life unmanageable. That was really, really obvious to me. What I didn't understand is that I'm powerless over food. That there are certain foods, when you put them in my body, all bets are off. There is no willpower. There's no mental defense. There's no nothing. That food hits my bloodstream or my systems, my physiological systems, and I can't do anything about it after that. Like, I'm going to eat until it's gone. I'm going to eat until I can't eat anymore. I'm going to eat and eat and eat and eat. And I didn't understand that because when I got here, I heard about abstinence and I thought it was some kind of punishment for being a compulsive overeater. That's not what it is. Abstinence is freedom. It's freedom from those things that hit my system and create that physiological reaction that I have absolutely no control over. No mental defense, no willpower. And it's telling us right here. I must believe that. That's what it means to be a real compulsive overeater, a distinct entity. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
No, thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. And if you're just joining us, let me tell you where we're at. We're in the big book in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXVI, the first full paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, ending with this physical factor is incomplete. And if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, we'd love to have you share with us today. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Io A from Southern California.
Chris Washington.
I gotcha, Io.
Chris S. in Washington.
Is that Chris?
Chris. Chris.
Robin,
yeah.
P. in Costa Rica.
Gotcha, Robin.
Fran O.
California.
I didn't hear anyone in that batch.
Fran R. California.
Gotcha, Fran.
Kathleen O. California.
I've got, was that Kathleen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And there was someone else.
Christy K., Washington State.
Christy K. Okay, I think we'll hold steady there and see how that goes. So this is what I've got. I've got Io A., Chris S., Robin P., Fran R., Kathleen O., Christy K. Please always, always let us know where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. And we'll start with Io A., followed by Chris S.
Greetings. This is IOA, Compulsive Overeater. I'm really grateful. It's good to just hear all the recovery and to be reminded, to be reminded of the physical aspect of this disease. I'm actually celebrating 10 months of recovery that I never thought I'd get after being in relapse for 10 years. And I'm not celebrating 10 months like I did the other months, and it is because I'm not losing weight like I was, and it's something I don't really like to talk about at meetings because I do know that it's not about, like, you know, my weight, but I have a hernia and cannot get the surgery until I get below a 35 BMI. And I know that's imposed on me because it's the wreckage, you know, of the damage I've done to my body. But it's really hard to just surrender to the spiritual part of this program and not be like obsessed with like seeing the weight go down. I am 250 pounds, which also this month has been just, every time I say it, it just sounds like more of obesity. And that's for me because that's what I see on all my doctor's paperwork. I do know, like, I've come a long way of people in this program who have been hundreds of pounds heavier know, like, they're to pray to be 200 or 300 pounds is a miracle. And today I get to go to Knott's Berry Farm with my 13-year-old, and I can fit in a roller coaster. And there's a lot of pain that I don't have anymore. I haven't used my cane in 4 months. Painkillers every single day, you know, whether it's just Tylenol or something stronger for arthritis. My blood sugar is down to a 5.4. I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm just trying really hard to be in acceptance that, you know, the scale cannot determine what I'm doing. If I'm not harming others, I'm not using food as a solution to my problems and harming myself. And I'm working the steps. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I like being much more enthusiastic, so I'm actually a little embarrassed, and I feel like I'm kind of moving into some self-pity, so I'm going to go to some meetings and make some outreach calls today. But I just want to share, like, you know, this physical component is not easy, but I do believe that the Most High is taking care of me and has. I want to thank everybody for being here, and I'm grateful.
Well, thank you so much, IOA from California, and congrats on 10 months. That's amazing. Next up is Chris S., followed by Robin P.
Yeah, good morning. This is Chris S. in Washington. And what a paragraph, what a story, what a letter from the doctor. You know, this part where it says, we were maladjusted to life. Well, maladjusted, I am the margin, means crazy. And with mental defectives, I don't know about these defects of character, but I default to certain ways of living. And when I get into that food, I do not do that anymore. I am recovered. When I get into that food, everything else goes away. I become an isolate. I become an overworker. I'm a bulimic workaholic, where I would not eat during the week, restrict myself during the week because I was working an 18-hour day between work and home. And then the weekend would come around and I did not stop eating. And then, you know, go to bed Sunday night and just feel, oh, God, why did I do that again? And then wake up Monday morning and be on this restrictive way of life, you know. And so my friendships, they were on and off, on and off, on and off. My contact with the higher power, on and off, on and off. You know, I have two very close family members. They are dead now. They died from this disease. I didn't know about this disease while they were practicing it. I did not know about this disease when I had it. This paragraph validates where I am, what I do. It validates the fact that, you know what, I act crazy, but I'm not crazy. I have a disease, and once I get into the food, everything else goes away because it's just me and, you know, what's medicating those emotional things. I am so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for this doctor who stepped forward and started the ball rolling, you know, medically. Thank you for those who have shared today. So many parts of my story were mentioned. And, you know, aren't we lucky? We have a higher power who's with us all the way. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris S. in Washington. Next up, Robin P., followed by Fran R.
Hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm just so grateful to be on this meeting. And thank you, Stephanie, for leading it. It was such a blessing to hear your voice. I just celebrated 8 years of continuous abstinence by God's grace and mercy, one day at a time. And I was a very low bottom bulimic. Wow. and anorexic and compulsive overeater. And I, for me, it was all the same, but the bulimia was an extra high that I got. And I think someone's unmuted, but if you can just check your mute session, press star one. And so it's been a real road of recovery. I'm so grateful that, you know, for this brave doctor. Someone's really unmuted. Just check your mute status if you can. So this Dr. Silkworth, I'm so grateful for him because he was such a brave guy and he put his career on the line and he decided to be the first. You know, someone has to be the first, you know, and it was him. And I'm so grateful. And then nowadays, doctors, it's completely, he just happened to be the forerunner who risked his career. And now doctors say all the time, you know, oh, this is alcoholism and know what to do a lot of times to help. I'm so grateful because I know that it's a physical and a spiritual solution, that it's mind and body and spirit. And I'm a organic gluten-free vegan. That's my food is my medicine. It used to be always my poison and my drug. And it's not my drug today. Thank God. I get to live my life and be a blessing. I've been blessed to be a blessing and carry this message and be of service to God and my fellows. And we rescued another dog here because I'm abstinent and in recovery and have and heart connected to God. And if I was in the food, I would never even, I'd be like every dog and man for himself. That's how I was. And, you know, it was starving to death. It was literally skin and bones. And we helped it and saved its life. And now it has a new home. And I'm so grateful to God. It means so much to me that I get to be service to God and my fellow. And someone's crashing around in the kitchen. If you could just mute, that would be awesome. Anyway, thank you, God. And thank you all. I'm so grateful for my God squad. I'm so grateful for Dr. Silkworth and Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, and everyone who came after them. It was such a long road for them at the beginning and such a hard startup, and they just kept persevering no matter what. So that's what we get to do. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Congrats on 8 years. And if everyone could press star one to mute, that would be awesome. That would be great. Next up, we're going to have Fran R., followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Fran R. from California. And what a meeting, like so many others have said. For me, what really, really strikes me is about in the middle of the paragraph that we were outright or we were outright mental defectives. And that's where I was when I was compulsively overeating for many, many years. I just was, that's where my head was. It wasn't in life. It wasn't in full swing of relationships. My relationship was with food. And I was very, very depressed for many, many years. I was on medication. I went through some highs and some lows. I actually was hospitalized twice for mental defective conditions. And today I am free from that. I am free from that. And if I have a day that I'm really not calling on my God, turning to prayer, turning to asking for his will, then I could and I have got on shaky ground. And today I have 9 months of abstinence, and I'm following the principles. And I wish all newcomers to just do it. And the program works. And thank you all from the bottom of my heart for being there. Great meeting. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Fran R. from California, and congrats on 9 months today. Gosh, lots of milestones. on the line today. Next up, we've got Kathleen O. And Christy K. We might not get to you. We'll just see how it goes. You're up, Kathleen. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you. Kathleen O. in Northern California. So an abnormal mind in an abnormal body. And I hear people in abnormal bodies who say over and over, I can't get abstinent. I can't get abstinent. I can't get abstinent. I can't stop eating. I can't stop eating. And that is the abnormal mind talking to the abnormal body. So what if we normalize the mind and the body? And I don't mean we'll be able to eat one brownie and be fine. I mean we won't want the brownie. And I know that's hard for people who haven't had that happen, but it happens, and it's really amazing when it does. We just don't want it. You know, we won't want food that isn't our abstinent food. And we get very comfortable with our abstinent food, and we get very happy with our abstinent food, and life is so much easier. So deep down inside all of us is a power, and it's a strong power. You know, call that power whatever you want. But when we draw on that power, amazing things happen. And we work when we work the steps, our lives change for the better. And you'll hear it over and over on these lines. So I eat healthy. I exercise. I meditate. My body gets healthier every day. These are the things I tell myself every day. I wake up. I meditate. These are my mantras. I do some other mantras. You know, I draw on the power to have my mind connect with my body. Our minds are powerful, and they can tell our body what to do. And, you know, I have my mind connect with my body to be normal. Normal being, I don't obsess anymore over food or life. I look like a normal person. People look at me and think I'm normal. They have no idea of my addiction unless I tell them. And sometimes they still don't believe me, so I don't talk that much, but you know, keep the mind-body connection. If you want this, wake up every morning and say, I'm abstinent today. I am healthy today. Whatever those things you need to say, write them down, repeat them over and over. If you want it, your mind is going to start connecting with your body, and your body's going to put that dang food down. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathleen. Oh, and we have about a minute. Christy, did you want to take a minute?
You bet. I'll make this quick. This is Christy K., Washington State, and I just wanted to say how this paragraph was such an eye-opener for me, because I always thought something was wrong with me because I couldn't stop my specific thing, which was eating sugar once I started. And I always wondered, why wasn't my willpower working? And because I found out I had none when it came to these specific foods that I ingested, I just wanted to keep eating more and more of those foods. And it was such a relief to know and find out that it wasn't my fault that I was allergic to these foods. That was such an eye-opener for me. And I never thought I'd be relieved to find out that I have a disease. But finding that out kind of took away a lot of the shame for me. It really changed my life. Just, you know, thinking I had a disease was something I never thought I'd be happy about, but finding that out really changed things for me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Christy Kay from Washington. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Elaine B., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.